Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look. Live unbound. Check it out at Conair.com and search Unbound.
You have to get right up to that point where you're like uncomfortable, but you can still do it, because that's the only way that you grow. And that, I mean, that's such an analogy for everything in life.
The genie show, oh, our lonely days are gone. It's magic, I know. I think it will be fun. Come on, hello. Like we knew all along, it's time to party. The genie show, oh, oh.
Welcome to another episode of The Genie Show. Joining me today on the other side of the microphone, I have the pleasure of being joined by Carolyn Keel. Carolyn, welcome to The Genie Show.
Thanks, Jenny. I'm so happy to be here today.
Now, you're the host of an awesome podcast called Beyond 6 Seconds, and I love the title because it talks about time in such a micro fashion, which we take for such granted. First and foremost, tell me, how did you come up with Beyond 6 Seconds as a title? I'm super curious about that.
It's funny. It took me a while to settle on a name. It was one of the last decisions I made around how I wanted to structure the podcast. And I got the name because I found a lot of my original guests on a social media platform called LinkedIn, which is very much business to business. A lot of people are looking for jobs on there, hiring for jobs, things like that. And there was a statistic that was floating around from a survey that was done by some company that said that recruiters only look at your resume for about 6 seconds before they make a judgment as far as, do you move along in the hiring process or do you maybe kind of get put by the side? While I totally understand that there are some things that need to be made in a very short amount of decision, part of the real like part of my podcast was that I wanted to spend some more time with people and learn more about their stories and really get beyond those 6 seconds of a first impression to understand really, you know, where people come from, how they built their careers, the incredible obstacles and challenges that they've overcome, and kind of get beyond the superficial first impression, you know, social media bragging and posturing that we see so much of these days, and just learn those real stories.
So what I'm hearing, Carolyn, from the mere manifestation of this podcast, Beyond 6 Seconds, is the fact that because you wanted to cultivate a platform where you could go beyond that initial, I guess, social media or internet impression of someone, connection and therefore deep connection is pretty important to you.
It is. It's something that I, you know, especially one-on-one connections, I really enjoy listening and hearing what people have to say and just hearing their real stories. I just find it fascinating and really just personally inspiring for me, even the, you know, not every story is sort of wrapped up with a bow and perfect. There's a lot of, you know, messy things and challenges we go through. And I'm just so interested to hear what it really takes for people to accomplish big goals in their lives.
Fantastic. I'm curious to know, where do you think this part of you wanting to know more about people, so the mere curiosity, but also the want to connect with people, where do you think that came from?
I think it really stems back to when I was growing up and I was thinking about potential careers. One of my earliest memories in terms of, oh, there's a type of job that I'm really interested in doing, was when I was in high school, I wanted to be like a guidance counselor because I saw what they did. I saw, oh, they help people who come in with a question, you know, kind of like, where do I go to college or what do I want to do with my life next? And they can help coach them through that and help them understand their options and provide resources. So information. Back in my day, it was like books. We didn't have the internet back then, but we had literally books and brochures and files and just access to information to help people make those decisions. So that's a big part of what I'm always looking for is, you know, one, the desire to help people really discover their own greatness, and two, to provide some sort of resources in terms of connecting people with information, people, other types of resources that they can find helpful. So, you know, in college, I spent a year as my college sort of work study in the career development office as one of the interns there. And that was a job that I totally enjoyed because I got to do a little bit of everything. It was a lot of conversations and sharing resources. you know, today I work in corporate training and learning and development, which, you know, you can kind of see the pattern forming here. It's a lot of, you know, sharing resources and coaching people through things. So it's kind of been a constant thread. And it looking back, it seems obvious, but it took me a little while to figure out exactly how everything tied together.
Looks like you've got quite a nice alchemy going on there, Carolyn, like you've pulled everything in together quite nicely. And I'm curious to know too, just going on your background and what you've mentioned about how you've worked in training, I'm curious to know more about modern culture in workplaces, because I think the fact that we've evolved as a workforce and the options for making money has now expanded exponentially beyond our wildest dreams because of the internet. You know, you can go to work full time and have, you know, a shoe business online and make money that way too. What have you seen to be the effects, or how important is a workplace culture or training and being resourceful to your team in a workplace culture with your background?
Oh gosh, that's a big question.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even done in some of my previous roles, I've actually worked on managing initiatives to improve corporate culture. And there's always an aspect of training and coaching and leadership and things like that. The short answer is essentially that it's critically important. The workplace now has just changed so dramatically, even in the last 5 years, and change just happens more and more rapidly with the way technology is evolving. So it's all kind of trends. There's workplace trends like working remotely, which, you know, that concept has been around for quite a while. Even since I first entered the workforce, there were a couple of people doing that, but the technology wasn't really there to support that. Now technology is here, but sometimes, you know, the culture of a company isn't always there. And truthfully, not every role can be remote. Some can be fully remote, some can be partially, and some really can't be. It all depends. So it's important for companies to really think about, you know, how do they want to manage their workforce? How do they want to find that talent that they need? Because, you know, again, with another trend, globalization. So, you know, you have access to talent and resources from all around the world, but at the same time, you're also competing with people all around the world, whether you're an employee trying to get hired somewhere, or you're a company that's, you know, now you have new competition from different countries, different parts of the world that you may not have had before, and also in different industries. So your competitors may come from a completely different industry, and they may start as a small startup, and with the rate of change, sometimes things happen so rapidly that it occasionally can catch you by surprise if you're not, you know, strategically looking out on the horizon. So, I mean, in terms of culture, I think it's really a way that companies differentiate themselves. It's such a buzzword. Everybody's talking about culture and how important it is, but it really depends on how you define that. And there's, of course, like the more superficial designations of, like, you know, the ping pong table and the snacks and things like that. And then, you know, those are fun. That's nice. But that's a very small part of what a culture really is. It's really about how do people work together? How do they relate to each other? What are the sort of spoken and unspoken rules of the organization and the workplace where you're working? You know, when I studied culture, it's amazing just how deep it goes. It goes, so, you know, some of those, a lot of things you don't even realize are part of your culture. They're just sort of understood, and it's very interesting that way.
It seems also, from my experience, obviously running a couple of businesses and training people and hiring human resources and that sort of thing, one thing that I've learned about culture is it's how they work together collectively with their personalities. It does take a whole heap of emotional intelligence, which I feel sometimes corporations aren't equipped with when they're coming to understand a group of people. It's very much about P&L and, you know, what have we made in the bottom line and how is this person affecting the bottom line? What's been your experience with that?
Yeah, I mean, it is a sort of a new skill for some leaders to learn. I'm seeing a lot more leaders, you know, being certainly aware of it, seeing a lot more importance placed on things like emotional intelligence and building teams, and a lot of moving away from the traditional hierarchy and, I guess, command and control, I guess is what they call it over here, is that I give orders and then you do them. Again, that's until very recently, that was the way a lot of companies worked. And, you know, we're seeing more and more departures from that with the companies who are really, you know, building those cultures that can help themselves thrive as well as their employees thrive. But yeah, I mean, it's important, again, because of competition and rapid change. And a lot of the things, territories, new products and services, there is no right answer. So it's like, I can't tell you what to do because I don't know what the right answer is. Maybe this is something we've never done before. It's brand new territory. So you need to hire your talent and really help them, you know, use their own minds and bring their own talents and their full selves to work so that they can be creative and find those new ideas and work together. It's interesting and it can be challenging to bring together teams and have a team where everybody feels like they can contribute and work at their best and feel, you know, at the same time cared for and not burned out. So it's always a tricky balance, but it is important.
Well, Carolyn, you've shared lots of amazing advice on corporate culture. I want to shift the story back to you. And I'm curious to also know too, how do you start your day? What is your morning routine?
No, I wish I could give you some sort of inspirational morning routine here. It's probably the most mundane one that you've heard on your show at this point. But mainly how I start my day. Well, you know, I have my alarm goes off usually around 6:30 a.m. or so. You know, do my typical morning routine. You know, kind of get out of bed. You know, get ready. You shower. You dressed. I have some breakfast and I'm usually reading something, whether it's, you know, sometimes I'm looking online and checking my email, but sometimes I do like to actually read physical magazines because I stare at my computer or my tablet all day long. So it's nice to give my eyes a rest and look at something that looks different. So I'll read part of a magazine. And then, you know, once I'm ready to go, I will typically drive to work. So I have I work at a large Fortune 500 company. It's about like an hour's drive from my house. So, you know, it takes me a little while to get there, but I will be in the car driving there. I like to listen. I always like to listen to something when I'm driving. So, you know, whether it's the radio, you know, Sirius XM is a kind of a lifesaver in that area for a drive that's long, got a nice ride. But I also, you know, I listen to podcasts. Obviously, I have a whole roster that I like to go through that publish weekly. And occasionally I'll listen to an audiobook. Usually it's a podcast or the radio once I get there. And then, once I'm there, after about an hour, I'm ready to start my day.
What are some of your favorite podcasts, Carolyn?
See, so one of my favorites that I listen to most consistently is called Problem Solvers, and it's hosted by Jason Pfeiffer. He's the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, and I like it because they're weekly short episodes that focus on one particular entrepreneur, small business owner, and a problem that he or she has encountered and how they worked through it. So either how they solved it or just what happened. And the whole process within usually about the space of a half hour is explained what the problem was, what led up to it, how the person reacted. Sometimes it was usually there's some challenge. They try some things and they don't work and they kind of go through their thought process and what happened. And then, you know, what happens on the other side, what they learned from dealing with that problem. So I always find that interesting because it's a lot of stories that you don't normally hear. Usually you only hear about the big successes or the big failures, but, you know, everything about starting your own business, there's always those, you know, big and small challenges that you have to work through a lot of times for the first time, especially if it's just you or you in a very small team at a company. And it's the podcast itself is a combination of interview and narration. So it's really well produced and put together. So that's definitely one of my favorites that I try to catch every week.
The Genie Show.
Hey, sleepyhead. Why so sleepy? Oh, it's because your mattress is a bag of potatoes and scrap metal. You should try a Nectar mattress. With award-winning layers of comfort, you can sleep easy knowing you got incredible value. Mattresses start at just $499, and you get hundreds of dollars in accessories thrown in, as well as a 365-night home trial and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com.
The Genie Show.
Fantastic. I do like your morning routine because it seems like you set yourself up, you know, you have a little bit of, okay, self-care, I'm going to get ready, shower, get some breakfast. That is a huge part of self-care. And it's interesting, a lot of people leave out that element of I'm going to have some breakfast. Oh. Actually training to have breakfast. Not people I've interviewed. Generally, there's some form of breakfast or caffeine injection in that process. But generally, even the concept of breakfast is some people like, oh, I'm not a big eater. It's hard, but I can't wait to eat. Like my body's like, give me some food.
But I have to eat something, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Me too, Carolyn. I've got to digest something. What is your definition of happiness?
Oh gosh. So yeah, I've been thinking about this. It's a big question. I guess what came to mind is it kind of having a combination of a few things. I would say having a combination of direction, freedom, and resources. So what that means for me, direction is that whether, you know, I feel like I have some sort of purpose or passion, some kind of vision, or even just some kind of a short-term goal, really anything that's just sort of pointing me in a certain direction. Generally, I feel like, you know, even if I don't know exactly what I want, but I can see a step or two ahead, I'm like, I'm happy. That's good. That's enough of a direction for me to go to feel like I'm satisfied with that. Two is freedom. So feeling like I have a choice in the matter. And, you know, almost all the time, and that's a big lesson that I've learned, is that you always do have a choice. Like, almost always, most of us have some kind of choice to change our situation or how to react to a certain situation. You know, that's something that I definitely feel like that, you know, I can have that choice. I can look at the things in my life and prioritize them, you know, decide what I want to do more of, what I want to do less of, or what I want to keep doing. And then the third thing around resources. So I think it's important in order to achieve our dreams to be able to either have or be able to acquire the resources to support us. So, I mean, that could be as simple as money. It could also be, you know, time, which is a big one. Health is huge. That's something a lot of us take for granted if we don't, you know, if we have good health, but critically important to happiness, and relationships. So what other support systems do you have or, you know, having in my life? So I feel like those three things together, generally when they're chugging all together, that I feel pretty happy.
That's amazing. I love how you've broken it down into kind of three different parts. And I'm going to touch on the relationship component that you mentioned.
Sure.
Who are the five closest people in your life, your inner circle, like your creme de la creme of your social circle or your relationships, Carolyn? Who are the five closest people in your life, and what word would you use to describe each of them?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I'll start with my husband.
Right.
So Michael, yeah, I mean, so many different words come to mind, but you know, he's loving, he's funny. But I think aside from that, if I had to pick one word, I definitely say just very, you know, very devoted. And, you know, not only devoted to me, of course, you know, certainly he is, but just when he makes a decision when he says he's going to do something, or when he kind of understands the situation, he's very focused on that, and he's very loyal to that person. So, you know, a lot of times you meet people and their loyalty kind of goes with the wind. Like if you're on the up and up, they're your friend, but then if things aren't going so well, they kind of distance themselves and change their mind. But he has a very strong kind of moral compass about like what he believes. If someone's doing something that he thinks is wrong, there's nothing that's going to change his mind about that. And he sticks by his morals. And it sounds so simple, but it's very hard to do that, because, you know, sometimes that you can get a lot of backwash and challenge from that. But that's certainly something I've always admired about him. And it makes him just a great husband, a great friend, a great son, you know, family member, everything like that. So something that definitely stands out about him. Two, in terms of my personal circle, well, two and three are my parents, who I live relatively close to. We're about a half hour away, and
it is nice.
Yeah, it's nice enough to be able to visit back and forth. So I'm able to spend holidays with them, and you know, just try to, you know, go over and visit, you know, once in a while. My mom, I would say, the overall word for her is really just really positive. Like the way that she, you know, she's retired now and my father's retired now, and they're both like, they're literally like living their best lives. It's amazing. And, you know, my parents and certainly my mother have had a good amount of challenges. My mother's dealt with sickness, with other big challenges in her life, but she always keeps that attitude of like, what can I do from here? And, you know, how do we move on from this? What do I do to make the situation better? You know, I just had to keep going. And she also surrounds herself with a strong group of friends, a strong support network, which is just so important when, you know, in good times and bad times. So, and she attracts people with her positivity. So people want to be her friend. They want to hang out with her. Like she's, my parents go to the senior center at our town and they're like at the cool kids table. So it's like everyone wants to hang out with them, and they're very active. So it's pretty funny, but those are my life goals. If I can get to anything that looks remotely like that by the time I'm their age, like I think I've definitely succeeded in my life. That's it. You know, it's like, that's amazing. And then, you know, of course, my dad, so many different words. Both my parents are very creative, but, you know, my dad is extremely artistic. He actually was an artist for his career when he was working, and just the incredible amount of talent of things that he can create, whether he's drawing, you know, freehand or drawing on the computer. He was a technical illustrator, so he can do everything. He can draw like little cartoons or, you know, big technical drawings and maps and just a constant creativity. And he's also a really incredible friend to people as well. Again, kind of like my husband, if he says he's going to do something, like, he'll do it. And he, if you need him as a friend, like, he is there and he, you know, will do whatever you need to help you get through. So that's one of many things that I admire. Absolutely. So, gosh, that's three. I guess my fourth, in terms of people that I see frequently who are in my circle, are my personal trainer, who I see once a week. She comes over to our little townhouse complex here. We have a fitness room. So
nice.
Probably one of the few bits of exercise that I actually get once a week, but it's pretty critical. That's a part of the accountability for me, is like, I need to work out and I need somebody like waiting outside for me to go out and do my exercise. Yeah. But yeah. And you know, she's just incredibly strong, which, you know, of course, as a personal trainer, but was strong physically and just strong mentally and emotionally. And she's just, you know, great at knowing how to push people up to their limit, because that's really what we do a lot of weight training and things like that. And that's really what weight training is all about, is like, you have to get right up to that point where you're like uncomfortable, but you can still do it, because that's the only way that you grow. And that, I mean, that's such an analogy for everything in life, isn't it? Is that, you know, being outside your comfort zone, but that's what weight training is all about, that. So she's great at encouraging me and others to do that. And, you know, and to continue to grow. You know, five, I would say, you know, I don't get to see her as much because she lives kind of far from here, but we try to see each other a couple times a year, is I'm really good friends with someone that I met in college. Her name is Jen, and we still stay in touch. We're, you know, not too far away, but gosh, I don't even know how to boil it down into a word, but she's just so active in terms of, you know, being able to organize a lot of things. So if she's kind of like a great project manager, but even if she needs to, you know, organize a brand new event, or she needs to get donations for a charity that she's working for, she just puts the whole plan together and she gets it done, which is just something that I admire so much, in terms of from the beginning stages of like, what do we need? Who do I need to reach out to? And then making it actually happen. So I think just kind of, I guess that's project management. I don't have a good word for that, but it's definitely something that I admire in her ability to really make things happen.
Sounds like you got quite a foundational inner circle there. You've got creative, you've got someone who holds you accountable for weight loss, and someone can kind of help pull things together, which is amazing, Carolyn. It's a great inner circle that you have, and I'm sure you're reaping the rewards of keeping such great company as well. I'm kind of curious too, going forward, like, what are some of the dreams that you had as a child, and are you living some of those dreams now, even in a small percentage?
Well, see, I guess one of my earliest dreams, but before the whole guidance counselor aspiration, when I was very young, is I either wanted to be a rock star or a waitress at Friendly's, which was a local restaurant that we had in our area. I think the Friendly's thing was because my friends and I, that was like the local place that we all went like to hang out or to, you know, after our school activities or school concerts or such. And it was just a fun place to work out. And maybe I just wanted to eat ice cream. It could have been that too. So that never worked out, but our Friendly's sadly closed down. So never achieved the whole Friendly's dream. But, but in terms of rock star, I, you know, spent a good part of my life as a musician. I mean, I'm a musician. I don't get to play or sing that much, but I, throughout my elementary and high school and even college, I played alto saxophone. I was
nice.
It was fun. I was pretty good. I would say I was above average. I got a lot of great opportunities to play in bands, you know, in our school marching band. When I went to college, I played in the jazz band, which was a totally new genre for me, and just really exciting and just a lot of fun. So a lot of the friendships that I made were around music and performing arts and things like that. And then I also sang at the same time. So I sang throughout school. In college, I discovered a cappella groups, which were huge in college. I think they're still huge in colleges and universities.
Well before Pitch Perfect, clearly.
Well, very, very long time. It's like, oh, this is kind of a cool thing. It was a brand new thing for me. So I sang in college, and then I actually joined a group of women who were based in New York City who were singing. We were all working, wow. And we sang after, you know, we rehearsed after work at night, and then we'd do performances all around the New York metro area. So that was just a ton of fun. So in a way, I did get to be a rock star. I've been on some pretty cool stages, pretty big venues. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I kind of did the rock star dream. So I'd say I'll check that one off. I think that I achieved that one. So.
That's amazing, Carolyn. Looks like you've been able to vicariously live out some of your dreams, at least, and go to New York to perform. Because not many people can say, hey, I've actually performed in New York, whatever level that they are.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, New York has all kinds of venues. We sang in really small bars on like in the East Village, or like all around the city, to you know, the Prudential Center and Giant Stadium and Madison Square Garden, where we would sing the national anthem every once in a while. So that was really thrilling, and it's just a fantastic experience to train up to that level and to have the experience of being on stage and, you know, having such a big audience. I mean, sometimes the smaller audiences are more challenging because you can see if people are like not paying attention or just like talking to each other. In the bigger audiences, you have no idea. It's like sometimes exactly. That makes it easier. Yeah, but it's great training. You know, it's great training for public speaking or performing or teaching classes or things like that. It was a great experience.
Amazing. Carolyn, I've learned so much about you in this time. I've learned about who you spend most of your time with, learn about how you start your day. I've loved getting to know all these parts of you. I'm curious to kind of wrap up. What are your goals for 2020? Have you actually thought about them, and how are you going with them so far?
Well, I guess around the podcast, I started thinking around goals. One is that my big goal was to start a newsletter for my podcast. So I actually just launched that at the end of January. So that was my first right. monthly newsletter. I was inspired by going to a small conference that I actually had the opportunity to speak at about podcasting. It was around, it's called the Small Business Bootcamp for Women. And a lot of the focus is around lead generation. How do you build your list? And, you know, what the importance that email marketing still has, even in today's world of social media and all different ways of reaching out to each other, email is still really big. So I decided to commit and do a monthly newsletter this year. So first issue just came out, and I'm excited to continue to evolve Amazing. That. Two is I'm also going to do some work on my podcast website, because I've also been learning more about search engine optimization and discoverability through writing and keywords and even just putting out written content, which was not something I was more focused on the audio content with the podcast, but you know, written right. content's big as well. So I'm revamping my website to be able to make my podcast a little more discoverable to people who might be just searching online for things and might be able to find my episodes more easily. I'd also love to have more public speaking opportunities, whether it's about podcasting or career development is another big topic I like to talk about, because I have done a couple of career pivots and changes in my career. You know, people are always interested, you know, it's a big topic now. So people are interested in what really goes into doing something like that. So I had one opportunity so far in January to talk on a panel, and, you know, I have opportunities to be on podcasts and shows like yours and talk about myself and really practice my own skills as a public speaker. So hopefully by the end of the year, I'll be even more fluid and even more able to share the information that I have about my own story and the types of things that I have to share. Yeah. And then work-wise, you know, I'm still loving working in learning and development to continue to build on my role, learn how to do new things, meet new people at work, and just kind of expand my network and all the things that I get to learn myself.
Amazing. Carolyn, thank you so much for joining me on The Ginny Show. You've been an absolute pleasure to have on as a guest. Tell the good people of The Ginny Show where they can find you.
Wonderful. So you can find my podcast online. It is at www.beyond6seconds.com. You can find all of my episodes there, or if you listen to podcasts on a podcast player, you can search for Beyond 6 Seconds or for my name, Carolyn Keel, and you'll be able to find my episodes there as well. But if you visit my website, you can sign up for my brand new email newsletter that I was just telling you about. There's a link for that. You can learn all about all of the different shows, read about them, and just learn more about the show. Also, connect with me on social media. I have an Instagram that's at Beyond 6 Seconds, and I guess the number 6. I'm also on Twitter at Beyond 6S. So yeah, would love if you reach out, connect with me, follow the show, and would love to hear from you.
Great. Don't forget to check out Carolyn Keel and her awesome podcast, Beyond 6 Seconds, which has amazing guests featuring yours truly. So check it out at beyond6seconds.com. Carolyn, thank you so much for joining me on The Genie Show.
Thanks, Genie. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much. The Genie Show.
I'm John Prideaux, host of a podcast called Checks and Balance from The Economist. I'm the US editor, and each week we dig into America's rich history and political science to answer big questions behind this year's election. Like, how do you hold an election in a pandemic? Does Donald Trump's law and order message work in 2020? How can a candidate turn a lead into a loss? That's Checks and Balance for a fair-minded perspective on democracy in America. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Acast, or your podcast app.